All right. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to thank everyone for being here this evening to hear the Word of God. I'd again like to thank the entire congregation here for their continued support and encouragement of my family and I. We truly have a special family here at Rockville. I'd also like to thank the elders of the congregation for the opportunity and challenge to grow my knowledge of the Scriptures. The lesson I've prepared has truly been an awesome experience to study and prepare for. I hope my lesson this evening will be an encouragement to you. The fact that we can take time out of this world to focus our minds on God's Word is something to appreciate and rejoice over. Have you ever encountered a time in your life that required you to put something together, only to find that the directions were what seemed to be in a foreign language? Not sure which way to go or what the next step is? What do? Do you ask your spouse for help? Or how about a time involving a tough task at work or school? Do you ask your supervisor or teacher for help? My job requires me to make difficult insurance coverage decisions, which have a direct effect on our policyholders. If I am unsure of something, you better bet I'm reviewing with my superiors. The question here is, can we say we do this with our Father in heaven on a constant basis? Each day brings its own set of unique difficulties for each of us. Whether it involves work, school, or home life, are we reviewing with God and letting Him into our hearts to let Him know the struggles and concerns we may have and asking God for help for what the next step is or for which direction we should be going? The subject of my lesson this evening is prayer. It's a subject that I felt I needed help in with the most within my Christian journey, not only for myself, but for my family. Every head of the household knows that they need to lead by example. For me, I have my wife and two sons to set examples for. What not a greater subject to become better in to help all of us grow closer to our Creator. When I spoke with Dwight about preparing what I wanted to center my lesson around, I thought about the area where I struggle with the most, prayer. I knew from my previous lesson on the plan of salvation that the preparation that would go into this lesson would help me immensely in this very important part of my life. As I complete this lesson and look back on all the scriptures, all the research, and know the hours put into this lesson have made me more cognizant and understanding when I approach God in prayer. Some things are easy to take for granted. The power to speak to our Creator and Sustainer is simply amazing and something that should be taken seriously. What is prayer? Prayer is our means of talking with God. It's our opportunity to express our heart's thoughts and desires to our Creator. If we turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, again, that's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we read the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the church at Philippi, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." An important word in this verse, which is easy to overlook, is supplication. Webster's dictionary defines the word as to ask humbly and earnestly of. Another important aspect of this verse is thanksgiving. Have you ever gone out of your way to do something for someone, only to not be thanked for that good gesture or act of kindness? That's a rough feeling, one that can easily leave you feeling angry. Let us not make this mistake when it comes to God. In all our prayers, we must go to God with ultimate thanksgiving. We don't want God to think that we are not thankful for everything in our life. We must take a hands-on, conscientious approach when we pray and not forget about the daily blessings each of us have. Prayer is our vehicle or avenue through which we can speak to the Almighty Creator. God is our Father. And don't all children want to talk with their Father? This is a natural desire that is in each of us. I can tell you how heartwarming it is when Trevor gets out of Bible class and so happily explains that he gave prayer during class, so utterly happy that he recites the entire prayer back on the car ride home. There's no other way to explain it other than it makes my heart smile and confirms the fact that I'm helping my son realize the importance in going to God in prayer, and it makes me want to be an even bigger encourager. How awesome and powerful it is that God gave us the opportunity to go to Him at any time to pour our hearts out. How should we pray? I used to be embarrassed asking this question to myself. Simply, just like everything else, the answers to life are in the Bible. I believe the question, what should I say or how should I say it, are questions that have been asked many times over many years. We see this example if we look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1, where we see Jesus' disciples showing the desire to pray. The scripture reads, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.' Jesus' disciples reached out to him, and they wanted to know the way to pray." If we turn over to the first chapter of James, chapter 1, verse 5, again, that's James chapter 1, verse 5, we read, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." God tells us through this verse that if any of us lacks wisdom, let them ask of God. If we are lacking in a certain area of our life spiritually, are we taking the time to let God know our struggles and asking for the wisdom or help in a certain area of our lives? If our prayer life is struggling, whether it be not making time to pray or not knowing what to pray for, are we asking our Father for help in this area? To pray, we must approach God with a prepared mind. We cannot approach God if our mind is somewhere else other than Him. It makes sense that our minds must be free of worldly distractions as we approach God, who is the creator of all things in this world. We are taught in the Bible that prayer is our means of talking with God, an opportunity to express our feelings. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, we see an example of the Apostle Paul, where it reads, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." We see here a prayer made by the Apostle Paul explaining that he prays to God for Israel's salvation as this is his heart's desire. This further confirms that when we pray, it's our heart's desires that we are sharing with God. We must also pray according to God's will. Our prayers must be coordinated with the will of God. If our prayer is not, then we must recognize this and pray for the wisdom and understanding of why it may not be God's will. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, we read, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." We must also ask in faith with humility. James chapter 1, verse 6 reads, "But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Let's turn over to Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, to read about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Again, that's Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. There the scriptures read, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to this house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." The story clearly shows how God is pleased with the heart filled with humility. We must also remember to pray in spirit. John 4, verse 24 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." To worship in spirit means that we worship from the heart sincerely. If you do not know what to pray for, start naming your blessings. Do we share with God our hopes and fears, our thoughts and things that may be bothering us with life? While preparing for this lesson, I ran into difficulties of life in my relationships with my parents, brothers, all while dealing with a sometimes stressful job that at times takes me away from my family more than I like. How blessed I am to have such a strong wife by my side. She was there to remind me to take my concerns to God. She was there to share scriptures with me to help me get through these tough times. She was there with a constant reminder to focus on God and take my concerns to Him. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 reads, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." We must humble ourselves and stop thinking that we are the source of power that will get us past the things that hinder us the most. We must trust the mighty hand of God by casting our anxiety on Him through prayer. Similar to what Brother Russell shared during his lesson last week, we must know that we cannot make it through this life counting on ourselves. We must remember the blessing we have of being able to speak to our Father at any time. We must examine the items that we pray for. Are we praying for spiritual growth for ourselves or those around us? Are we praying over and over for things that may not be part of God's will? Are we constantly asking God for material things? We must thoroughly look at our prayer life to see what we are asking for meets God's will. We should also be praying for understanding when we pray for things that may not be part of God's will. This is not to say that we should not be praying to God about our finances, health, or other concerns, but stepping back and looking at what we pray for will help us ensure that we are including requests that involve bettering our faith and spiritual lives, which will help us stay close to God. An example of this can be found in Paul's letter to the Colossian congregation. If we turn over to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Again, that's Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 3, where it reads, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned." Here we see Paul requesting prayers for the opportunity to continue on with the missionary work and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ that caused him to become imprisoned. So why should we pray? Well, for one, God admonishes us to pray. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it reads, "We are told to pray without ceasing." God knows we have times of weakness, times where we fall. This is why the scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing. We have to be dependent upon the assistance of the divine power through prayer. We are also commanded by God to pray and to pray through our mediator. I want to direct your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Again, that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, where the scriptures read, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator, also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension." Paul refers to one mediator. A mediator is someone who stands between. In verse 5, we get an understanding that Christ is the mediator who stands between God and man. John 14, verse 6 further cements this as we read, "Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Another example of Christ our mediator can be found in Romans chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. "To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you." You see, when God sent his Son to this earth, God worked through his Son. God's actions towards mankind were worked indirectly through his Son. As such, our approach to God should be through his Son, as the scriptures state. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, again, that's Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9, read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Due to our humanly limitations, we need a mediator. We need Jesus to go to God with our prayers and make our petition to God. As Jesus walked this earth and knows the limitations and struggles of man, by ourselves, we can neither know God or reach him. It's by the bridge of Jesus Christ that allows us to have that relationship with God. To study a little more about that bridge we have through Jesus Christ, let's turn over to the book of Hebrews, in particular chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. The scriptures read, "But we do see him who is made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings." If we continue on in verses 17 through 18 of chapter 2, we read, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Those who are tempted is us. You see, because Jesus became man, we can relate with him in the human context. Jesus Christ is the bridge and mediator who takes our prayers to God. When we pray, we must always pray through Christ. To pray in the name of Christ means we are praying by his authority. By the authority of Christ, we approach God in prayer. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 reads, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 sums this up nicely, where it says, "For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." Above being commanded to pray and to pray through Jesus Christ, why else should we pray? Well, God is our God. He is our creator. Bottom line, he wants to have a relationship with us. By being God's child, we approach him in prayer and let him into our lives by opening our hearts. It's something to step back and realize that God is our creator. He is our father and our sustainer. To think that we can at any time go to him and give him words of praise, express our concerns, and ask for help is simply amazing. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." It's very comforting to hear this scripture. As long as we stay on that narrow path, we know that the Lord will always hear us. We may stumble while on that path, and that is why it is of utmost importance to have that close relationship with God through prayer. But as Dwight mentioned in his lesson this morning, we also have an obligation to get to know one another better. To really reach out to someone here and get to know that person. We need to be able to have a little insight into the lives of the brothers and sisters we fellowship with. Otherwise, how or when would we know when they need our prayers or encouragement? James chapter 5, verse 16 reads, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." It is important that we stay involved with each other to know what someone may be going through. We will never know what someone may be going through if we don't reach out to those around us. At the same time, if someone asks you, "How are you doing?" really think about that question before you respond. It's very easy to get on an autopilot mode and respond as you would to a stranger, with a simple, "I'm doing well." If we are not doing well, we need the prayers of those around us, then let us ask for those prayers and open ourselves up a little. This can be difficult if it's something that we are not used to doing, as stepping out of our comfort zone is never easy. However, it is something that gets better with repetition and time. Just as I covered in my lesson this evening, we can take our concerns and areas where we wish to be better in to God and ask Him for the help in this area if it is a stumbling block. I really encourage you to reach out and get to know one another better. As if we do not know each other, then how can we pray for one another? I thank you all for being here again this evening. If there's ever a time in your life where you're not sure which direction to go or what the next step is, please remember that God is always ready to listen. At this time, I'd like to turn the service over to Brother Dwight Topp.